Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hello, everyone. Survivor specialist John and McKenna are back, and we are talking episode 8 of season 44, But in the Past. John, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty great. You know, this episode, it's funny because we finally got to an episode that feels like an old school episode of Survivor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got lots less advantage talk. We have one idol being played. That's it. We have a very typical merge vote to discuss this episode. So, yeah, like this feels like the perfect episode aimed at us.
Yeah. We're talking about either, I'd say like, the arguably last season of old school Survivor in Heroes versus Villains over on the Patreon, or it's the dawn of the new era, whatever, of new school Survivor. But anyway, we are talking Heroes versus Villains over on the Patreon. So give episode 10 a watch, where it's the Parvati double idol play. And we'll get to our reasons why later on the podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, if you watch season, if you watch episode 8 of season 43, you probably know why we're talking about that episode.
But first, we're going to talk about Carson vomiting due to rewards and nerdy tummy troubles and rewards causing stomach pains.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most delightful way to start a podcast ever, but I mean, the thing that we've
come to see,
yeah, I don't know. But, you know, the thing that we come to see in Survivor episodes usually is, like, you know, we get that little blurb where it's like, oh, this happened last time. That relates to, like, literally every episode of Survivor. So we kind of have to talk about the first big moment in this episode. Unfortunately, that's Carson just...
upchucking in the woods.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that, like, we've seen a few times where, you know, rewards have had this effect on people, food poisoning. It's really interesting that it's only Carson, which makes me think it wasn't food poisoning, because that's not how food poisoning works.
I don't think it was necessarily food poisoning. I think it was just his stomach reacting to the richness of the food that he just got and was just nope, because that's what happened to Joe Del Campo.
Sure is. He had to get taken out of the game at Final Four because of it.
Because some steak killed him. That rich, like, meaty steak just did not agree with his digestive system and blocked him up.
Yeah, maybe it's just that overload of protein. Maybe that's the connection here, right? It's too much protein. Yeah.
It also happened in season 2. They Australia, one of the merge rewards, they come back and are just like full and like in it, their tummies are just in a lot of trouble, and they ate too much on the reward and it was messing with everything, because in Australia they were barely eating because, you know, they needed to get another helping of rice. They like it was that merge was a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, and we've even already talked about an instance in Survivor history where a reward has resulted in some stomach issues over on the Patreon already. So if you aren't already a $10 patron, you should sign up so you can listen to us talk about Fiji when they go to the Fijian arcade. Not the same Fiji that we're at now. It's a different part of Fiji. But hot dogs. Hot dogs just like lead into... You know,
they ate like several hot dogs in one bun and are just like pounding them down, and then all of a sudden are just like, we can't move.
It like inadvertently leads to Rocky being ousted from that season because he's just like, oh, you guys can't handle some hot dogs? I'm gonna talk about more food now.
Yeah. And let's not we forget Austin Carty and Nick. With the beans that they won from that reward, finally cooked them up, got some protein in them, and then are just in the woods the entire night.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say.
They ate way too many beans. They got reintroduced to a new flavor other than rice and were just like, no.
Protein again. It's all about that protein. That protein it's just messes protein.
Up. Yeah. Yep.
Of course, we also have like the nerdy side of gastrointestinal distress, because it seems to be this common trait that the nerds. I mean, like we can, yes, Kane's a big nerd in this season too, but Carson's like one of our stereotypical nerd characters.
Yeah,
they just don't do well with their stomachs in seasons of Survivor.
Hashtag severe gastrointestinal distress.
Yes, an actual hashtag, because if you've forgotten. Maybe you're too young to remember. Survivor used to give us hashtags to use on Twitter to discuss the episodes.
Yes. Then we get tree mail. Yay, more tree mail. I always love when we get to see tree mail in these episodes. And they are like, all right, pair off, everyone. You're going to need a partner for this challenge. And what was interesting was, do we partner based on strategy of maybe who we want to go against, or are we going to be winning immunity with them? Cause that's also a possibility. Who do I want to win immunity with or also have immunity. And we see it this as far back also as the Outback.
Yeah, it's really interesting in this instance because, like, in 44, we're kind of living in that post-Squid Games era now, right? Where people are always a little sus when you tell them to partner up because it's possible they're competing against each other. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when we look at the way these pairs kind of broke out in this in season 44 here, because we're seeing people pair off, you know, people who think they can work well with people, also people who are like similar heights, which comes into like a lot of challenges a lot of the time. Like, mm-hmm. there are moments where you really, in order to succeed, you can, and you're working with a partner, you need someone of a similar stature to you, so that like if you and I, McKenna, were working on a challenge that involved like lifting something, it's not going to go well because I stand a foot taller than you.
Yeah, I just say, here, lift this, I'll follow.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's interesting to see those that are pairing off. And of course, we go back to Australia, and Australia is one of those ones where it's that episode where Jerry's just...
I want Colby.
it's that cringy episode where, you know, they go to the Great Barrier Reef and everything after this challenge, but... Oh, Jerry's so insistent on Colby. And it's like, yes, obviously, because Colby is the best athletic person there, the most athletic of them all, remaining at that point in the season and everything. But remember, Jerry's kind of like also like kind of obsessed with Colby at this point. Mm. So it was a little creepy. And then they pulled straws and then they ended up being paired together anyways. And it was hilarious, yes. But also really cringy.
Do you know where else we see Jerry and Colby? In Patreon, episode, so go become a patron. Also, we watched an episode of All Stars, so just be there. So this whole episode is hilarious. Of they wind up being partnered together, and then we see something similar to that in Africa with Brandon and Frank.
Yeah, again, it's one of those, like, I'm like, the other thing is, like, this is kind of the, with a few exceptions, like, most of the times when we see Survivor telling people to pair off, it's for a reward challenge, mm-hmm. Because it makes more sense to do it in a reward challenge, but, yeah, Ben and Frank obviously leads to one of the most awkward movie nights, to one of the worst Best Picture winners ever.
Yep. Out of Africa. We see it again also with Pearl Islands. They're paired up, but this kind of brings in the aspect of this challenge where they run the first couple legs together and then break apart and they have to compete against each other. So you have to like be with a partner that you hope you can beat in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's the interesting thing about this. Again, it is kind of that like Squid Games thing where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, you have to compete against your partner. You didn't see that coming, did you? Spoilers for a very internet crazed TV show that came out 2 years ago, but that happened. It's interesting because it's the same iteration we have here. We just have, it's actually almost the exact same challenge we have here.
As last season. Same exact challenge minus the third stage. So this is the one where one and just turning the wheel saying, this one's for blank. This one's blank. And the last stage is Chimney Sweep, a classic Survivor challenge, which John and I were looking at all the places we see Chimney Sweep. And there's only five.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly rare challenge for one that seems so iconic. Something that like is so visceral in your memory as a Survivor challenge. It doesn't come up that often.
Mm-hmm. So the first time we see it is in Fiji and Yao Man wins it. And obviously the next one, Token Jeans, it's the whole coach goes to exile and nearly dies challenge. Heroes versus Villains, which we're talking about on Patreon, and oddly enough, this episode, this version of it in Heroes versus Villains is the episode before one we talk about on the Patreon. So you kind of get a previously on with this challenge. But this one's a bit different because it's a teen version of it. And they're just in tree mail saying, order yourself from strongest to weakest.
I love this version of this challenge. Again, like it's something that we normally see as an immunity challenge, as a reward challenge. Instead, it's tailored for the tribal portion of the game. I love it so much. It is such a clever way of doing it. There's so much strategy involved of like, okay, if this is our strongest person, do we think the other tribe is also going to put their strongest person as their strongest person because they figure like it's going to match up that way? So it involves so much strategy, so much like deduction, so much like knowing how the opposing tribe is thinking in order for you to really succeed at this challenge. I think it's the best variation of this challenge. Yes, it's can technically be a little anticlimactic depending on how the tribes break down and everything, but yeah, it's one that I wouldn't mind them bringing back, but they just can't do it in a 3-tribe season, really.
True. It would have to be at like a true swap if they did it at a 3-tribe season where they swapped into 2. I just really like it because they have the ambiguity of, all right, arrange yourself from strongest to weakest, but not totally knowing what the challenge is. And Rupert's like, I'm super strong. And they're like, yeah, but this is kind of what we're thinking of for the challenge. And you wouldn't be good at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you're also paying it off as like thinking like, okay, if like our strongest is against their strongest, or it's one of those things where in the matchup challenges in Survivor, you can game them really well if you know how to, by forfeiting some of those matches, essentially, because then you're like wasting your opponent's strongest player. So like if you, we see it a lot in Australian Survivor. We saw it a lot on this live season of Australian Survivor, which we do avoid talking about here. I swear there's no international Survivor out there, but there is. There's lots. And we see it a lot where if your tribe is incredibly outpowered by the other tribe, you can take out their biggest people by putting in your weakest against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you win, awesome. Upset. We love upsets. If you don't, it's an acceptable loss because you're planning for it already. And like, again, that's the strategy that you can do in Chimney Sweep when you compete in tribes.
Yeah. The next time we see it, Redemption Island Duel, where Matt Elrod obviously wins.
it's more than likely that he wins in Redemption Island, but he does eventually lose though.
Yes, he does. But then we jump a significant amount of seasons to Edge of Extinction and Gavin.
When we were looking this up last night and like confirming which seasons had Chimney Sweep on it, I was shocked that we had a 16 season break from this challenge that seems so iconic. And like, but again, it just comes, but if we look at like these seasons that included it, right? Token Cheese is a pretty memorable season. Fiji's a memorable season no matter what anyone says. Heroes versus Villains, obviously a super iconic season of Survivor. Even Redemption Island, as much as it's like bemoaned, a season that like people do
but remember. It's all right in a row.
Yeah.
14, 18, 20, 22.
Yeah, and then they just stop for a long time until we get it back in Edge of Extinction. And I mean, I actually forgot it was on Edge of Extinction at first because it's just not one of the most memorable challenges in that season.
Yeah, you think like the balance kind of foot challenge and you think of the Lauren passing out one. And then that's actually one John confused it with at first. And I was like, no, wait, no, that's the block on your head. And then he's like, oh, wait, yes, it's this one where Gavin wins it.
Yeah, and it's just, so it's very interesting that like, it's a challenge we're so used to. And I mean, this is one of the things that we have been, we as a Survivor community have kind of been complaining about for a long time, where, you know, challenges have been kind of getting stale on Survivor. We have a lot of like, especially in the pre-merge, where we've talked about it a lot this season, where, you know, it's obstacle course, then challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to think that some of these challenges that like we have, right, we've been asking for them back. We want these challenges back again. And then when we have one, like we did in this week's episode, we don't even realize that we're getting an old challenge and we haven't seen it forever.
Yeah, it was almost like when I saw this, I was like, basically the same reaction of Last Gasp from last season, where I was like, an old school challenge, because I like giving them a break, because then it's like, oh, this again. Like, we see in the episode for the Patreon, the Hold the Pole challenge. Like, I'm kind of tired of it, but I'm also yet always excited when I see it, because it is just such a Survivor classic. And in looking it up, I just flabbergasted that we had so much of a break from it to see it again, and honestly forgot it was in EOE. So it's such a good challenge. I just really like it. I really like a lot of those just sheer willpower challenges, like the one we had last episode. Because it's like, either you drop out of the challenge yourself, or you just fall over or whatever. Like, you give it your all until you're done. So I just love those kind of endurance, like, mind over matter challenges.
Yeah, as much as we do critique for production for reusing challenges, it's really nice. Like, you've given us a couple seasons break. Obviously, we haven't seen Chimney Sweep in 6 seasons now. So you gave us quite a bit break, like maybe too long of a break. It's okay if you bring us back like every 3 seasons. We enjoy this one. It's a difficult one. Obviously, like, people do it a lot differently. This is the most, because like, we kind of get this challenge in Guatemala too, but it's not the same because like, they're balanced. They can prop themselves up differently. They can use their entire body. It's not just their arms and their feet. So it doesn't count as the same challenge. It's kind of the same challenge, but it's not. And it's okay. Bring back these older challenges every once in a while. Like, if you just make, like, don't make it predictable, because predictable's bad. But like, if there's like challenges like this you can recycle that are still exciting to watch, because this is one where it's like, I legitimately looked away from the screen for like 2 seconds while watching this episode and missed someone falling down.
Yeah. I think this is such a great challenge, but it's okay to have a challenge that might be geared more towards someone else. So like, when we, because not every like every challenge that ends in a puzzle is geared more towards people who are puzzle savvy, or you know, that kind of thing. So like, I knew who was winning this challenge right off the bat. Once we got into it, I knew Lauren was winning this challenge. I thought Danny had a chance because he is like a shorter guy, but I knew Kane and Brandon were absolutely toast. Like, you see the people who we were talking about who won it. Yao Man, JT, Matt Elrod, Gavin, like, these are all smaller statured people. JT is kind of the ish outlier here, but
not by much though. Like, he wasn't
not by much, but compared to like Yao, Gavin, like he's
not quite the beanpole that those type of players are. But at the same time, like, this is just a challenge where your weight is going to play against you, and it's okay. I think there's like this fallacy in the Survivor community that challenges need to be fair and equal, and I think a lot of it's driven by the fact that like, a lot of these like hold your weight challenges are all like based on your starting weight and stuff like that, and like, things are adjusted for height and everything, obviously. But I mean, as people who watch the challenge a lot, it becomes very apparent that like, not every challenge can be geared towards a particular player or to every player, and like, some people are just going to be advantage. And I like seeing Survivor embracing that again.
Yeah, because like, if it ends in a slide puzzle, it's going to guarantee the people who know slide puzzles to win once they get up to it. Like, you could do the obstacle course as fast as you want, but if you don't know how to do that slide puzzle, you're just going to bumble your way through it. So I am a big fan of this challenge. But we're already moving on to tribal council. This was a good episode of Survivor, but it didn't give us quite a lot to look back on because this new era is getting rather new.
Yeah, well, it's also really generic things that happen in this like post-challenge pre-tribal section, right? Where it's like, okay, this is the plan. Someone comes with the plan and they bug up. The gameplay in this episode is so bad. It's so bad. Like, good on, you know, Danny for sticking to his guns and playing his idol for Franny. Good on, you know, Jam Jam and Carson still voting for Franny despite knowing the plan and that Franny wasn't the person going home. Like, these are good moves, but, like, come on. There's so much stupid gameplay in here, and this is another reason why we're talking about episode 10 of Here's
the Show.
Let me tell you.
I just heard John say this is really stupid 5 million times just before.
There's a lot of really bad gameplay in that episode, and I talked about it a lot. But, like, in this episode, we have Brandon talking about, like, okay, we're going to vote Franny. And he tells literally 9 people on the beach. Maybe 8. Maybe he doesn't tell Carolyn. It's the only person we don't see him telling.
Yeah.
And, like, that's bad gameplay. We have Danny telling Heidi about his idol, which isn't necessary. It's not necessary. You don't have to do that. Because Carson and Jam Jam don't need to know about the idol in order for this plan to work. And then you see Heidi tells Carson and Jam Jam. And it's like, it's just bad gameplay over and over and over again. And while I have Heroes and Villains on the mind, like, it's bad gameplay over and over and over again. Which so don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me for saying it. Become a patron. Listen to me explain it all. As to why it's bad gameplay. Don't burn me at the stake just yet. But it's also just so generic. And like, but that's what I think is so endearing about this episode of 44 and why a lot of people are saying this is the best episode of the season so far. This is an old school season or episode of Survivor. This is an episode of Survivor where people are making mistakes. They're blundering how they're telling people information. They're blundering their plans. They're coming up with not convoluted plans. They're pretty simple plans when we get when we boil it down to its core parts here. Both plans, super simple. Straightforward.
The new school era slash new era, like, watcher brain in me was just like, oh, Heidi's gone now because she talked about the idol.
Yeah.
And then I was happy to see that people rest in peace stuck with the plan.
Yeah, right? Like, we see some basic Survivor skills, and we've been so inundated with twists and advantages over the last few seasons that I even watched this episode, I'm like, you know what, that episode was kind of boring. And I was like, oh my god, but this is exactly what I want in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And like, in retrospect, as I think back on the episode and reflect on it, I'm like, no, this is a great episode of Survivor because this is what Survivor is. It's the social game. We see people talking, we see people making mistakes, and we see people capitalizing on those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's like, it doesn't give us a lot to harken back on because there are 43 seasons of Survivor where this is the exact same thing that happens because this is what we expect out of this game. And that's what's so beautiful about it. That's what's mm-hmm. so beautiful about this moment in 44. You know, production was talking about how they love this season so much. I'm starting to feel it more because if we keep getting votes like this, And the big thing, we've had a big complaint over the last 2 weeks where we had the earn the merge or whatever they want to call it now, where, you know, half the tribe is safe, so they don't really count. And we had last week, which was like actually a tribe swap. But this week we finally have a merge, and it's a 10-person merge. It's a vote that we haven't had in the last 3 seasons because if you keep in mind, 41, 42, 43, this is the split tribal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is the split tribal in the last 3 seasons. We haven't had just a plain old final 10 vote in a long time. And like next week, we get a final 9 vote, which is some of the most exciting votes in Survivor history. So I'm really excited for next week. I'm really hoping it gives us a great episode to talk about. Actually, I know it is because it's final 9. And final 9 is so easy to find a great episode to talk about. But it's so simple. It's such a simple episode, but it's so great because of it. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had more specific moments to talk about all the strategy that's going on here and stuff. But there's honestly too many. We go on for hours going mm-hmm. through every single season of Survivor to talk about yeah. it.
Yeah. So with that beautiful long-winded rant by John about how amazing this episode was and how straightforward this vote was and how refreshing it was, we are going to move on to Tribal Council and the significance of this Tribal Council. And it's Danny playing his idol for Franny, which I thought we had a lot more of with people playing idols for other people. But we don't really. So we're just going to talk about people with idols and playing them.
So we have had hidden immunity idols since season 11. Season 11, mm-hmm. like Guatemala, our first introduction to the immunity idol. It doesn't count for this one. We're not going to count it because you had to play it for yourself. Same with Panama and Cook Island. Those idols you had to play for yourself. It wasn't really until we got the current iteration of the hidden immunity idol with Fiji where it made sense you could start playing it for other people because of the way that the idol worked. So since season 14, so in 30 seasons, there have only been 9 seasons prior to this where people have played idols for other people.
Yeah. It's wild. It's wild. And we're gonna go through them with you, our patrons. Whoa, become a patron. I'm still in Patreon brain here, but we've talked about this before, but LJ playing his idol for Tony responding and playing his idol for LJ. That's kind of a 2-for-1 deal with that one, and it didn't really matter, but but it was still an idol play for someone else, and giving, because he could have just kept, Tony could have just kept his idol for himself and let LJ play an idol for him, which is what Marianne does.
It is what Marianne does, because Marianne at the final five and final six, sorry, in 43 does in fact have Mike play her his idol on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she just keeps her own. Great, great move.
It's like one of those people won the game and one didn't.
Yeah, right. Then we go on to Natalie in San Juan del Sur playing her idol for Jacqueline to get Baylor out of the game, which is an amazing move. She just goes, all right, Jack, did you vote for who I asked you to? Great, I'm playing this idol for Jacqueline.
I mean, it's an iconic move, right? Mm-hmm. It's an excellent move. Big play there.
Yep. And then we have Reynolds giving his idol to Malcolm in Karamoan, or Malcolm asking for Reynolds' idol in Karamoan.
Technically, it is still playing for Malcolm. This is obviously the Mike Snow boot in Karamoan. It's awkward. It's like, hold up, bro. I think it's me. Sorry, Malcolm.
It was none of you. They just wanted to flush the idol.
Yeah.
Ty playing it in Advantage Geddon for Aubrey in Game Changers.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, it was Ty. It was Ty who made that happen.
Yeah. and so thus Aubrey being safe there. Davey on Christian. In David versus Goliath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the, that was the Dan boot, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then.
No, sorry. I wasn't recalling correctly. It's the John boot.
Yeah. I was like, one of them. The Dan boot is the thing. I don't know.
Yes. Where.
One of the worst, I'd say, is Lauren on Chris in EOE.
Well, I mean, it's probably one of the best instances of someone convincing someone to play an idol for them.
I mean, yes. Yes.
As much as the Survivor community wants to dog on Chris Underwood, you do have to acknowledge, okay, the dude did come back into the game and played exactly how he needed to play to win the game.
100%.
Which includes convincing someone to play their idol on him.
Yeah, for someone who was voted out of the game, who she voted out of the game.
Wild. Have to commend him for that move, though.
Yeah, exactly. Denise on Jeremy.
Yeah, Queen. And Winners of War.
Queen stays queen.
That was such an awkward moment. Bye, Sandra. Sorry. It's okay. We'll mention you again later.
Yeah, in a much better light. Heroes versus villains. And obviously, the reason why we're watching Heroes versus Villains, Parvati's double idol play for Sandra and Jerry.
Yes, at the merge, at a 10-person tribal council, the parallels to this episode is there. Yeah, this really did. Thank you, Danny, for being so selfless. Because in all honesty, Phil mentioned it.
Really thinking about us, John. I think he was thinking about us when we didn't really have a podcast yet. And he was just like, you know what? I want to give these two some content and let them watch Heroes versus Villains.
Exactly. Phil mentioned it with in the episode recap with Alexa. I texted Phil in this moment being like, I actually didn't expect Danny to be the type of person to play an idol with someone else. And like, kudos on him for doing it. Because it takes a lot. It takes a lot to play an idol for someone else. When you have guaranteed safety, giving that safety up to protect an ally is a huge move. And it's going to be really interesting to see how things go forward now in 44 because of it. Because the fear, obviously, was that Ratu was too strong. Mm-hmm. I think Brandon going kind of like shakes that up a bit, obviously. Yeah. It'll be really interesting because we did have that conversation in this episode where Jam and Carson are talking about, you know, we got to kind of flip sides, go back and forth. Play in the middle perfectly. That's how you play the middle. You don't stick to one side. That's dumb. Again, there is some good moments of gameplay in here. There's some bad moments of gameplay, but there's some really good moments tucked in and nestled in here, just like episode 10 of Heroes versus Villains.
Mm-hmm. With Queen Parf.
Yes. Yes, Queen Parf.
But yeah, that's basically all we've got for this episode. It's kind of short, but it was a good one. It was a wholesome, it's a good one. I almost got John, like, I almost wanted to convince John to watch the Wentworth Will Not Count episode to get us some Keith Nail. But this one just fit a little bit better, and he was right. So,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I will love to talk Keith Nail, and obviously, we're super, super disappointed and saddened to hear of his passing this week. Keith Nail was a stand-up member of the Survivor community. I mean, literally, you see it all over the internet this week. Everyone's just talking about how great of a person Keith Nail was. Obviously, gone way too soon. Don't worry, Keith. At some point, I'm sure we'll be able to talk about you.
Well, I mean, we did more. Win one nil, sir. We did.
But we'll talk about Keith way more because I love Keith Nail. He's one of my all-time favorite Survivor players.
100%. Mine too. Well, that's it for us here. John, what's the schedule looking like this week?
Well, of course, always check out Phil and Alexa's episode recaps right after the episode every week. This week, on Monday for the Prediction of Power Rankings, Jesse Lopez is coming in to
finally this next episode of Survivor. We get some 40s action.
We get some 43. He is actually the first member of 43 to be on the podcast. Really excited to have him this week. Should be really good because, again, we're going into a final nine vote. And final nine votes are always fun. This episode, like, your Power Rankings patrons, I'm just telling you now, it's going to be a bit of a crapshoot, and you may or may not come out on top because anything can happen at Final Nine. And then, of course, tomorrow morning on the Patreon, you can listen to McKenna and I discussing Heroes versus Villains, episode 10, Going Down in Flames. Great episode. It's the merge. just like this. This might not officially be the merge. It's the merge episode of this season. I don't care what anyone else says.
Yes.
As always, click like and subscribe, ring that bell so you know when we're going live, because sometimes we have to podcast a day late because life gets in the way. And become a patron. Even if you don't want to become a $10 and $20 patron to listen to McKenna and I talk more, which you totally should, become a $1 patron. Get on the Discord. There is so much conversation going on there. There's talk of tequila shots at the finale party now, which honestly has me a little worried. But you keep talking about it on the Discord. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, no tequila for me. But thank you, everyone, for watching. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Or on the Patreon if you're cool.